So what's the biblical evidence for compatibilism? Well, he gives us several scriptures here, just maybe a couple that we want to focus on, right?
There are many.
He says the evidence for the dual agency making biblical compatibilism is pervasive in scripture. The book of Proverbs contains general statements to this effect. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps, right? 16:9. And then in 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand, right? And then 21:1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills.
Yeah, but, right? But the king is the ultimate decider of things. I don't understand how God can do that. He must respect his libertarian free will to do what he wants. He's the king after all. Yeah. Except there's a king of kings.
That's right.
Lord of
That's
ones.
Right.
I set my one up, myself up for that one. Isaiah declares, O Lord, you are our father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Mm-hmm. Many similar passages indicate that people serve as God's providential instruments. And Romans 9 even brings forth that. And that's actually not a, citation from Isaiah, but it's from a different passage that I'm sure he'll get into. Such texts never convey a sense of divine coercion or that somehow people's choices are made mindlessly or unwillingly. The work of salvation and of sanctification that accomplishes it is wholly of God and his grace, but this does not leave its recipients in a state of passivity. Yeah. I always go back to the end of Genesis, where he says, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. So the brothers sold Joseph in captivity. Why? Because they desired to get him away from the father and their lives and horribleness. And, oh, you're having dreams about us bowing down before you?
They
get out of here.
They wanted to do evil toward Joseph.
And so their libertarian free will gave them that, and God had to scramble to have the nomadic slave traders come at that same time, and then Potiphar to choose him, and then him to not give into temptation so that he wouldn't be killed when Potiphar's wife had, and then he's put in charge of the prison, and he survives in prison, and then he has to happen to meet the cupbearer and the baker,
yeah.
And then Pharaoh has to listen to him after 7 years of being in prison, and all these things have to happen so that he can get to the end of his father's life and say, what you intended for evil, God intended for good.
Up there wiping the sweat off of his head.
Okay, I need a breather. Yeah. Everyone freeze. We're going to zero Kelvin here. I need to take a break and hit the locker room.
Yeah.
So Isaiah declares this and that salvation then is ultimately the culmination of the work, because all the things that happen to get Christ on the cross and to pay for our sins, all those choices, all those people are so many things that could have gone wrong so that God had to come up with a backup plan. But he says before the foundations of the world, Jesus was going to come and pay for our sins this way. It's what the entire Old Testament, the temple, all these things, the boring parts of Leviticus were all designed to point towards Christ.
Yeah. So the idea here is we choose, but we choose what God wants us to choose, right? So it's a both and, it's a compatibilism. That's the idea that he wants us to see here, that the scriptures teach, right?